or you could do really obvious like Master Builder or President Business or whatever it was.
Lord Business. Too obvious.
Yeah, it's too on, too on the nose. I agree. So.
A Master Builder and a Master Breaker.
That's not bad.
Master Bricker.
Was it Bricker?
No, I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no. So he's just throwing something out there that's not from either.
Yeah, brother. I mean, that's also, I guess, a play.
That's a way to go.
Sometimes I don't know who Jelani even is.
Sometimes I don't know who I am. Welcome to our Film Fathers Podcast, the definitive podcast about fatherhood, film, and fatherhood in film. This is Jelani, and with me as always are two best friends, Martin and Brady.
If this relationship is going to work out between us, I need to feel free to party with a bunch of strangers whenever I feel like it. I will text you.
There are so many more spaceships on this adventure, and yet not nearly enough.
This week, we enjoyed some family-friendly entertainment that is centered around a focal point of not only our childhood, but our kids' lives as well. We are, of course, talking about the building blocks of childhood, the Lego Movie, and the Lego Movie 2, a long-awaited movie franchise, at the time, that had more references than even the strongest movie and Lego buffs could keep track of. Was everything awesome?
I will say, this was the first time I saw the second iteration.
Oh.
I had seen the Lego Movie, but I had never seen number two.
Same here.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen the Lego Batman movie either.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised, though, Martin.
I've seen the Lego Batman
movie. I really feel like, wait, Jelani, you hadn't seen the second movie either?
I think I'd seen parts of it. I don't remember seeing all of it.
Did anyone know going in this was almost one of our sneaky...
Yeah.
The one that eluded all three of us?
No, I don't.
It's only happened to my knowledge once before.
Yeah, I assumed you guys, having younger kids, like, were all over. Like, this was, like, on repeat or something at your house.
Yeah, but
especially Jelani, who loves Legos and loves Batman. So I was convinced.
The time frame of these, I really felt like, Martin, that's why I thought you would have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I did.
Yeah, our kids are younger, but these movies didn't come out this year. They've been out for...
Right, but 2019. Well, I guess maybe.
Yeah,
you're right.
5 years ago. Yeah. That makes it. But feels like my daughter was one.
Yeah, that's true. Why does 2019 feel like last year? All right, good point. But no, Lego Movie, the first one, and I don't even remember this, but like Lindsay was telling me, like, yeah, didn't we watch it at your house? You did like an outdoor movie with it, and I'm like, no, that doesn't sound right. And we did. We went back and found video of kids singing "Everything Is Awesome" outside in the backyard, and I'm like, I must have been, I don't know, grabbing food for people and not, you know, just not paying attention to the movie at all.
Not paying attention to the movie that you set up for everyone to watch.
I didn't even get to enjoy it because we've done like Jumanji, we've done Beetlejuice, Ghostbusters, and I've watched all those. I watched the Lego Movie a different time too, so I do remember more of it. But yeah, Lego Movie 2 just never, I don't know.
I just assumed I was on an island here. I figured you guys would have been all over it, and I was watching it, and I'm like, I had no idea. I watched the first Lego Movie with my kids, which was their first time seeing it as well. So this was, despite Martin's disillusions to when this movie came out, my kids saw this movie, the Lego Movie, for the first time like 4 days ago.
Yeah, we watched it all together, I think last Friday. And I don't know if it, I think Brooklyn might have seen it before. Just because he's at that age where, like, this is something that might have come up in school or, you know, at a birthday party or something like that.
Right.
I believe that. Especially at the right age. I feel like it's, I mean, granted, time frame wise now, there's been some disconnect. But I think I could see that being, during the right window of time, this definitely being maybe one of those movies that's kind of like the first, for some groups or some ages of kids, the first movie where they're coming in and kind of almost reciting lines and saying things to each other that are like from that movie. Maybe I'm kind of amplifying that possibility, but
yeah, putting that wish out there.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And that's why I, as I was watching these, I kept picturing your kids just loving it because, and my kids they really do like Legos. Like Colin's big into it whenever he likes getting new kits, even as late as like last year. And he's turning 13 you know, this week. So he still, you know, he still likes Legos. And then the other, Nolan and Brecklin do too. Like they would for a while put together a bunch of different sets, you know, and want and keep asking for new ones. You're like, oh, I want to spend my money and buy a new one. So yeah, they're big into Legos. But yeah, this movie, I asked everyone, I'm like, hey, does anyone want to watch it with me? Nobody really took the bait.
Really?
Yeah. Nobody was into it.
I feel like Nolan would have enjoyed it.
Yeah. He's seen it. But
oh, okay.
It's not that he hasn't seen it. I'm not sure if he's seen the second one or not, but they weren't like, yeah, I love that movie. Let's watch it. You know, it wasn't that, yeah, that kind of thing. Like when you ask for Home Alone, they're like, yeah, we'll watch Home Alone.
Jelani, what about you? With obviously, I think we all share that. Our kids are all into Legos. So I already know that at least about one of the multiple children that you have. But
no, they all are pretty big Lego heads. Like Parker still has hers spread across the loft right now. So you have to watch.
Oh, parents step. Love that. Yeah.
But yeah, the boys have like shelves and a table in their room just full of Legos.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like Martin said, you know, that's what they ask for. You know, hoping to get, you know, new sets, new kits. I haven't made them go down the path of, you know, discounting them, finding them at Kmart and buying them for 20% off and calculating how much money they're going to save. But that was how I learned how to buy Legos. But
I was going to say, that sounds like, yeah, your childhood.
Well, it definitely doesn't sound like a current thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you can't get them at Kmart, I'm sure Venture's got them. So.
Are there Kmart still?
Maybe Zayer.
The big K? So my kids did not watch Lego Movie 2, and that had a lot more to do with my available time to watch movies was not conducive with their, you know, awake time. But the first one we did on the weekend, so I purposely won it. But throughout, for the next couple of days, and both of them are into Legos, Roman much more so. He is similarly shelf full of Lego kits. Kind of getting bigger and bigger here, looking for more. I think his dream, what he thinks he wants to spend some money on, is the Home Alone house.
Okay,
which is a very sizable acquisition if that decision is made. Mila has just started now. She had some of those little like small box ones that you'll get that are very easy to do. She just got a little bit bigger one and kind of did that. So I think she's kind of branching into that curiosity and kind of willingness to put those puzzles, so to speak, together. They were, through the week, singing out of nowhere, be like, singing, everything is awesome. And Mila said she had a dream about that song. Not so sure that may or may not have been me watching the second version and, like, you know, through the ether, she was I essentially forced the dream, but it was great. They were laughing a lot. Mary didn't watch it with us. She was kind of just doing stuff around the house, and she kept peeking in and being like, because they were just laughing so hard at just random parts and numerous things that were catching them right. And it was that genuine, like, kid laugh that is exactly what you want to hear, obviously, as a parent. And they were just, like, from the belly, completely taken by it. And then simultaneously, I don't know if they could have told you what was funny, you know, like one of those weird things where it's like they think it's absolutely hysterical. And you're like, oh, what was funny? And they could not even repeat it.
And it's so fast. It's so frenetic. Like
I think that's part of
there's so much going on in these movies. It's I feel like it's an ADHD, smorgasbord. Like there's something, you know, move on to the next thing every second in both movies. You know, it's just a very frenetic pace.
I think that's why it works for adults too.
Yeah.
I think that's part of that layered humor that is so prevalent in all of movies now for that are kids movies.
Yeah.
Like there is a simultaneous like adult level.
Yeah.
Of enjoyment, whether it be the jokes or whether it be like a content, but whatever it is, like the beauty of these movies that are getting made that are able to stream your kids and you laughing at the same thing, same scene, sometimes for different reasons.
Yeah.
They don't even understand the joke.
Yeah.
You get the joke, you get the deeper layer and you find it funny, and they've layered in a sub joke that is simpler and just easier for, you know, an 8 to 10 year old to digest, and they're dying laughing too, and you're both laughing at the exact same scene for completely different reasons. And I think that there's just an amazing art to that, and I think it happens not just here, but in a lot of, I think that's kind of just the way the movies have gone, the kids, quote unquote, kids movies have gone.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Brady, because there was times when, like, Jen would laugh at something and she'd look over me and, like, see if I caught that joke. And at the same time, like, our kids are not even, like, fazed by it. They're just still watching. And then, you know, Riley's laughing at Unikitty doing something silly. And then you're just like, okay, that, you know, that's what's hitting for her. And then, you know, something that Brooklyn laughs at is, like, something related to Batman, or something that, you know, Mac laughs at is, like, something that Emmett does and he can't understand why Emmett's doing that. Or, but yeah, it's like the multi layers that they were able to touch, you know, with everybody watching the same film, but all getting something different out of it is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's on 1.5 speed, the whole movie. And
for sure.
And I totally forgot that, like, this is all part of the, you know, the Pratt, like, taking over of cinema, right? Like, Jurassic Park.
The Prattization
Park.
Of...
yeah, the Pratt.
What do we call it?
That's good. That's good. The Prattization of cinema. So...
It led to all, we were being pratted out. We were
Pratt.
Yeah, we couldn't do it anymore. And I know we're jumping around, but even in the second one, right? Like the idea, like the idea that you have the antagonist of Rex Danger Vest, also voiced by Pratt, because
yeah.
You know, because you can't get enough Chris Pratt, they thought at the time. Like, would it have been the worst to just have someone else voice that? No.
Well, no. You watched the whole movie, right?
Yeah, I know. But they're saying he's. They even alluded to, like, he's a galaxy defending archaeologist, cowboy, right. And raptor trainer. Like,
right. Yes, that's exactly right. It's Guardians. They're poking fun at all that, which is good.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to say I like the second one better, but I think I kind of did. Maybe it was just because it was new and.
Oh no, I did not. I definitely found the first one much more enjoyable.
Yeah,
Brooklyn would agree with you, Brady.
Wasn't even close.
Yeah, I guess I was expecting very little from the second one, and the fact that there was a lot of that, it was, they still kind of tied in the, you know, the real world thing with the fight with the sister, and mm-hmm. You know, they pulled it off. I think they pulled off a decent sequel. I guess is what
I don't disagree with you there. I will say in the beginning I wasn't 100% sure if I thought that they were going to be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
And
I like the sci-fi. I like the time travel, and then they tell you not to think about it too much. And there seemed like a lot more references to all that kind
of
stuff.
God.
Like a lot of references, which I like. I like when kids' movies reference, or just any movie really references a bunch of other movies.
I legitimately like, well, movies are one thing. They obviously did that, but I was looking up kind of some details about, you know, both these. The amount of deep Lego references, like, to, like, old, and Jelani, this is where I feel like you're going to nerd out even more so. Yeah, nor I. And I, like, it was like, no, this one, it was from, like, this original set, and you're like, the thing was, it's everything. There are no misses. They have, every single thing you see is either a reference that you understand, or a reference, if you don't understand it, it's because you don't quite know the Lego canon enough to know that, like, that was referenced on a Lego show from, like, the 80s. And it's like, it blew my mind. I was initially like, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. And I was like, this is psychotic.
Well, when,
like,
when they were doing the building stuff, when they were building stuff up and you see the piece numbers, you know, I bet
piece
you
numbers
those are
all, yeah.
Like that,
Jelani,
to me, that was insane. That
Jelani,
they would,
did you
those are accurate.
Or did you not know a piece number? Like, did you know a 15246 is a?
I had the same question, Brady.
So I don't know the piece numbers now.
Boo!
hold on. Now I will say that Jen might, because I don't know if I told you guys this, but maybe two summers ago, she took all the Legos that our kids had taken apart and broken up and things like that, and put them all into a bin.
The bin of storage.
A bin of storage.
Whatever it was called.
And then sorted them by color. then okay. by size, then put them back into the cases or into the kits.
She like, in a room of padded walls? Or
wait, so it was our Mamageddon?
Yeah.
Our Mama
exactly,
gets in.
But she repackaged all of the Lego kits. So now all the ones that they've built and then taken apart.
Sell them to local children? Or
no, we have a whole, now we have a bin full of kits, just Ziploc bags of Lego kits that are full with all the pieces, you know, that right. they had built
but
at one
she
point.
Didn't,
and, how long did that take her?
Here's where you lost me. She had them separated, combined them, separated them, and recreated the kits that they were to begin with.
Yes.
How many kits do you think?
Probably.
This is all
30.
Oh my god.
35.
Wow. How long did it take?
3 months.
3 months. That seems
so
short.
This was part of my question. So we definitely like everything. All the Romans kits and Milo's few, but Romans mostly are all definitely like segmented. This is your Ziploc bag of, you know, of
extra
this
pieces.
One. No, of this is it. This is your Harry Potter castle. This is it right here. This is your chess kit. This is your whatever the case may be. We have never put them all like. So in essence, he's never been able to just essentially free build with like any and all pieces because you risk that, right? You risk them. You either buy random Legos to have as a hodgepodge or you risk not having the pieces you need to build the item.
So wait, you guys only follow the rules? When do you get to be creative?
Well, according to my kids, they follow the map, which it's for some reason drives me nuts that they call it that. And
of
so
course
I'm
it
always
drives
like,
you nuts.
No, it's the instructions. It's like this is the instruction manual. Those are the directions. Worst case, it's definitely not a map. Not a map.
It's not pointing to any location.
Along those lines of following the instructions, do you guys remember the kits from back in the day? And this is going back to like the 80s space guy.
Yeah.
But they used to have the kits, and then on the back of the boxes, they would have just like random designs that they made.
Alternates?
Like, so with
yeah,
those
alternate
pieces,
designs.
So you could make some random shit?
Yeah, but they wouldn't, they never told you how to make them. So they would just have
just kind of
have
idea
like a
starters.
Robot out of a spaceship, or they'd have like,
So it's like, go nuts, try to make this.
Try to make this. So I literally wrote the consumer department at Lego. In
this
Enfield,
no
Connecticut.
This makes sense to me.
The director of customer service or customer affairs, her name was Susan Williams. I was on a first name basis with her, and I wrote her several letters. I'm like, hey, Susan, can we get the instructions that you have on the back? And she wrote back, she's like, unfortunately, Jelani, we can't because that's what we want to spark the creativity. That's why we put them out there. But I appreciate your interest. And then she like gave me like a year subscription to like the Lego magazine or whatever.
Awesome.
As like part of my like dedication to it.
It would have been amazing if she sent you like a Lego. Like this like what?
The piece de resistance?
Oh, that would have been amazing. Every interaction, she was like, "Oh, here's 42656, which is our like our curved piece, which people crave."
Yeah, it was like the Lego Builders Club or something like that. Like that was like their membership club, and I was a member for a while, and then I kind of just didn't. I stopped writing letters.
I think we talked about this in the past. So I was, even though I feel like it is very up my alley, and I have found myself that way with Robin as he's built over the years. I never really got into Legos as a kid, and it is, I would argue, a fucking travesty.
Yeah, I think Jelani would agree. I mean, I didn't have much, but I loved the very few kits that I ever had, and I had a really cool Technics, right? That's how you say it. Technics, like car that I remember, you know, and I wanted to like take it apart or do it again or do something, but I was scared to like ever, lose any piece or something. Cause it was like the only one I had.
That's where I go. Like you can't build what they built you know, like even throughout, like you can't have these worlds.
Yeah.
Apocalypseburg. Well, you know, yeah. You can't build.
But we had the bag of stuff. We had the other ones that were just bricks, you know, where you could do. But that was, you know, that got a little boring, I think, when you just have, we don't have any like any unique pieces when they're just
it's
different colors. I think you want four and
when
twos.
You're building when you're building with a map and you want and you have the desire to, you know, free build. And then you free build, and you're like, yeah, you know, it's like, I think there's actually something to it where I'm being told, like, I'm getting to an end goal here instead of, like, maybe building a robot with, like, bumps outside. You know, it's like, there's just, I don't know. I think it's a never-ending quest for perfection and imperfection that can't be satiated.
But I'll never forget, like, with Colin, we did the Razor Crest, which was the Mandalorian's ship. I think Johnny, you remember you looking at it when you came over one day.
When he was building it, yeah.
Yeah, when he was building it.
Well, dude, that was that birthday party. He got like fucking 30 Lego excursions. I was like, this kid's going to be busy forever.
and it was during, you know, it was during COVID when we finished it. And I remember his teacher was like, he got all excited and he was on a Zoom call and he's like, hey, my dad and I finished the Razor Crest. I got to show you. And he's like, Colin. I'm like, oh, shit. He's going to yell at him and tell him, like, not to interrupt class. And he was like, Colin, that's very cool. You got to show me after class. And I'm like, this teacher gets it.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those weird things where I feel like it was, unless I've completely blocked out of my world, I probably did have some free blocks here and there, but I just never, ever, to my knowledge, I never remember getting or doing like a set and building it. And like when Roman was younger and doing it, I'm like, I even now I had the desire to like want to put all right, I'll do this page, you do that page, like let me help. I want to take part, you know. And I totally get the fulfillment that you get out of, you know, kind of putting those things together. And I found it amazing, like watching, you know, even the first movie where you're kind of getting, Martin, to your point, like almost Lego overload with the amount of people that are there and just like references that are there. There's just, it is so nonstop at all times. Like every single scene is
And question for you guys, is it all CG or is there any of it that's actual bricks or, you know, pieces that's just film? With those small
It was a lot of stop motion.
That's what I mean. Yeah, stop motion. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Because it does look pretty seamless, however they do
it. They said that they specifically made it that way.
Yeah.
They wanted it to feel that way. And it, like to the point that they were like trying to film smudges on. Mm-hmm. And like they did the Wild West, you know, mm-hmm. world. Yeah. And it was, they were trying to like discolor them because they would be in the sun. Like I think they took great pain. It felt like what I was reading in making it representative of like this. It really felt like people who made this movie cared immensely about
it. I feel
Legos.
Like that's why I feel like I should love it or something. I feel like there should be like, I should treat this as like my favorite kids movie, but I don't know. I don't really.
It shows. You hate it.
No, I don't hate it. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I definitely don't hate it. And I'm in awe of it. And I think it's very well done, very well acted, very well written, all the things. But there's, for some reason, it's not like one of the ones that I'll be like, hey, we have to watch this again. Or I don't know.
Well, that's weird. I feel like it was, as I was like coming up with, I said, hey, guys, like, I want you to watch the Lego movie with me. And they were both my kids were kind of, I don't want to say there was trepidation, but I mean, they weren't excited about it. And I was thinking, I'm like, well, they've never even heard of this movie. And, you know, even the sequel has been years and years, despite Martin's insistence that it's current.
Last year.
But it is, and I felt that I was literally bringing something to them. It almost felt like I was showing them a movie from my childhood. Like it's one of those. It felt like I'm bringing them something that they don't know about. No one they know talks about. And yet you watch it. And I remember when this movie came out and it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
It was a really, really big deal that like they made this Lego movie and it was really good. Like the fact that they made it was one thing. And then they made it and it was actually like really, really well received. I think I was looking, and I think, Martin, you would know as good as anybody. Like, I think there was, it was considered a snub almost that it didn't get nominated for Best Picture.
For,
because it was considered.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It was on that level.
Was
where
it best
was like
animated?
Finally, a movie that had like had hit that peak where could it cross the line and get nominated? I think we had the, you know, the wider array of movies being nominated and all that, and it was kind of a snub of sorts. But I don't think it was winning Best Picture or anything like that. But I feel like if a lot of people felt like it was like one of the of like maybe the first animated movie that was going to be it was going to cross that line. And then you look at the cast too. It's just like, dude, we you know we do these grid contests every so often, and it is hard to believe. You feels like you could throw movie 43 or Lego Movie in on almost every actor or actress ever alive.
Totally, Charlie Day. Charlie Day might be my favorite. I just love what he's in. I think he's like the perfect animated voice.
Oh, I agree with you actually when you're saying that. Like he is. His excitement, like, it, you feel it.
That was the foreshadowing I pointed out to the kids, too. I'm like, you know that Emmett's voice and Spaceman's voice are Mario and Luigi, right? And they're like, wait, what?
It's crazy that those two get paired. And I didn't necessarily put that together. And it also, it almost feels like a bit of a cop-out in hindsight. Like, are there no other people?
Right, like, I mean, it always felt weird. Well.
it always felt weird that Chris Pratt was the Italian plumber, but yeah. Well, you, not only that, you have Keegan-Michael Key.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Wait, Keegan-Michael Key's in this movie?
Yeah, Keegan-Michael Key's in this movie.
In
too.
Lego Movie? Oh, I didn't know. What was he? What was he?
That you're gonna have to give me a second on, but.
But we have got the Liam Neesons.
Yeah. Right.
Will Arnett, perfect as Batman, right?
Oh my god. Okay, so we should talk about Will Arnett because obviously, as you know, I'm a massive fan, and we all well at least Martin and I are big Arrested Development fans. Jelani, I don't know. This feels like one of those things you'd be like, I've never seen it.
No, it's not I've never seen it. I've never finished it.
Okay. Keegan-Michael Key was Foreman Jim, by the way. Right. So just a random guy on the job. So you could have easily missed
him.
Yeah,
but, okay.
But Will Arnett is, like, in the Batman canon, like, is he the best? Is this debatable?
Well, he's debatable.
He himself is a Keaton guy, so. So he says it.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Correct. But he is amazing. Like, it's hard to, I mean, amazing enough that they literally made a whole movie out of how amazing he was. It was so funny, so well written, and you add his voice into it, and it was hard to not think that he stole the show, despite not being, you know, the protagonist and or. I don't think he was an antagonist necessarily, but he was obviously
some kind
of
nemesis
of sorts. Some kind of antagonist. Some kind of nemesis of Emmett. But, you know, if we're talking about Pratt or Arnett, guys, Team Arnett over here.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that the other thing that's just funny, like we mentioned on the voices, when you just have like pairings of people, you know that the 21 Jump Street crew is in here as well.
Sure.
Oh, Brady's favorite?
Yeah, Brady's favorite was Superman.
And Jonah Hill.
Tatum.
Yeah.
And then,
which, guess what? Guess what the funniest part of Superman was?
When he get locked up?
No, the funniest part of Superman is Green Lantern.
Yeah, so Green Lantern is Jonah Hill.
Yeah, so Superman's a waste. It's a complete waste of time.
Of course, you have Morgan Freeman, who everybody needs to have a Morgan Freeman voiceover.
His first animated film.
Was it really?
That's what they said. For his voice, it's crazy. I think he just missed that window where it was he could get pulled in.
But the one thing that I think is funny, because you go, as we talked about the illusions and all that, as they move through the movie, and it kind of parallels like along the movie, is the transition from like just generic like genre kits of like the pirates and the castles and space into the more of the licensing agreements. And, you know, when they go to the part of like hey, 92 NBA or 2004 NBA All-Stars. Dude, that was crazy.
Shaq and the NBA All-Stars.
And the NBA All-Stars. To like,
I was like, is that a thing? Was that a Lego thing? I'm like, I
think I have a couple of them.
You got like Tim Hardaway?
I think it may be a Tim Duncan, a Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay.
And then when the Star Wars came in and you had Lando and Chewbacca. The Millennium Falcon and stuff like that, and that's when like the licensing agreements
took off. Is that Kubasa or something like that? he said something. I wish I could remember exactly what he said because it was amazing. It wasn't Chewbacca, and I loved every second about it because I obviously knew who it was, and I do the Chewbacca voice a lot, around them. So it was funny to see that, and now he has that, right? Like, those are pieces that have come up, that have sustained time, and the sets have grown as like you kind of alluded to, like Mando came back, and like the Star Wars sets are obviously, I know Martin's kids have at least a couple from that birthday extravaganza where saw every Lego set ever, but it's crazy because I feel like that is a Legos have become a means for which kids can learn about these other worlds like Star Wars and maybe not the 90s NBA All-Stars, but Roman's probably dialed into those, to be honest, separately, but you have Dumbledore and you have Indiana Jones and you have it's kind of everything, like, because Lego touches almost everything and has touched everything at some point, you have that ability for kids to essentially work themselves into becoming fans of other franchises and movies, and that's pretty amazing.
To that point, my son got two kits this past year.
Was it Bruce Willis in a ductwork?
No, that would be hilarious. But he got
that one.
It was pretty funny.
An Aston Martin DB6, the original James Bond car, as a Lego set, and then he also got
Secret Service.
No, from Goldfinger, and then he got Dom Toretto's Charger.
So he got it, or you got it?
No,
that sounds like a Jelani present.
It did, but he wanted those sets, and those were the two he picked out.
Jelani got it for his son, and then immediately grounded him and took the set.
It took the set.
Now, this is your own good, but I'm putting these together so you learn your lesson.
Jen's like, what happened? Don't worry. You know what? He doesn't deserve us right now. I'll take care of him.
But yeah, I think it is a gateway to, again, if they watch it again and they see the different illusions and they see the different, like, the mention of time travel and they go to Bill and Ted and Back to the Future.
Yeah, all of them. The TARDIS.
Doctor Who, all of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's the whole thing was probably like 3 or 4 seconds where they list all of them out, but each one has the exact right replica of whatever, their time machine was, H.G. Wells' time machine too. And then, so that joke probably took so much time and effort, but it's 3 seconds of film. It's like, man, they really put a lot of effort into these.
They did a really good job. In my opinion, like, that first one is really, really great. There's a great arc amongst it all. I really feel like they kind of nailed it. And
the Will Ferrell character and the boss and the Craggle.
The Craggle, right.
Just talking about Taco Tuesday.
With the scratched out letter. And
yeah,
it's
clever.
They tied it in well. Yeah, I feel like it just was so well done, and again, you tie in a well done movie with all these overarching themes of Legos in general, which tie a lot of people together, and then you bring in all these other characters. And to your earlier point, it's just nonstop, and it's like it's entertaining, and there's jokes for adults, and there's jokes for kids. I feel like they really kind of hit a home run, and why they made multiple other movies,
Yet I still hated it.
It's also why it's used in other movies. most notably Across the Spider-Verse. There's an entire Lego scene in that, too.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that one on the we get to Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. We'll do that one in something.
But you're right. It's part of the you know, the lexicon. It's part of the world now that these movies exist, and they are, like you said, mega popular, and everyone, there's something that feels very American about these movies too. Like, it does tie everything together. You said all the IP that they've gathered through the years. There's and Legos are just very well engineered. You know, people have tried to have like a different. There's a bunch of knockoffs, but none of them ever get like the right. They say the snap, like they say the pieces will really should like last forever.
I can tell you, Roman has gotten some not Lego sets, and that was I believe I've said that to you too. Like, you just notice,
you notice the difference.
There's just a enough of a variance. It's like they've never been able. No one else has been able to perfect.
Yeah, this, I think
like,
it's patented simple, for one thing, and then just engineered really well, and then they. But it's been the same pieces. You know, I think if you get a piece, that's what they say, like from 1950, and you try to put it with a new one, it's going to fit. You know, there's nothing different about it. So
that's right. As long as Jen sorted it in the right bag.
Yeah. Right bag, right drawer.
What did you guys think of the musical aspect of the second one? I was like, pretty much like Wild Style. I'm like, oh no, it's going to be a musical.
It was low hanging fruit, right? Yeah. It was they went oppo, and look,
I didn't hate it. They
made a song in that everybody is awesome. Everybody is awesome, which was pretty unique, right? Like it really played on a lot of levels, and I didn't realize until I saw something that it was that Jorma from The Lonely Island co-wrote that.
Oh, he did
with Tegan and Sarah.
Oh, nice, Tegan and Sarah. Yeah, okay. They might be they're the high voices on it. That makes sense.
Yeah, so they. I thought it was kind of interesting, right? That they made this obviously song that took off and became huge. Everything is awesome, became fun, and then they decided in the second one to go kind of like they sang a little like everything is not awesome, you know.
I like the credits song at the end. That was definitely in Lonely Island because I think I'm pretty sure I heard Andy Samberg on there.
Well, and I was gonna say the one early on where like the song's gonna get stuck in your head, like they literally like leaned into. The aspect of the song that was.
Do we know who wrote that one?
I don't.
I think it might have been Taco from The League.
That's what I was going to say. Is it John? Really? John LaJoy?
He wrote three songs for this album.
It feels like him.
Movie.
Because before he was Taco on The League, like that was he's known for making songs on YouTube. He was like very early pioneer of like he was like one of the first creators on YouTube.
Yeah. So he wrote three songs on there. The Lonely Island Boys.
What's his name again?
John LaJoy. J-O-I-E.
LaJoy. Lonely Dylan Island Francis. Did that song with Beck.
Dylan Francis's catchy song.
Oh, the catchy song?
Featuring guest vocals from rappers T-Pain and Aliyah High.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say T-Pain made it on there. Garfunkel and Oates have a song as well on there. So they went with like people who have comedic chops as well as, you know, music backgrounds. Right.
Yeah, that's good.
The songs were funny. Like again, some musicals are usually lame, which is why I don't lean towards it. But I didn't mind. The songs moved the story along and they were funny. So.
Well, and I think it's part of the you're expecting it at that point, right? Like you got it in the first movie. You got a song that is entertaining and stuck in your head. And when the second one comes, for better or worse, like people are expecting that to happen again. And so you're those writers and those people are expected to deliver.
Yeah,
and
but there so, were these were exposed these were like explaining songs like I'm Not Evil, I'm or whatever, you know, the one from Tiffany Haddish. Like that kind of stuff didn't happen in the first movie.
Yeah, all right, Martin hates all these movies.
So all right. So we should just end it because Martin is just anti Lego movie now.
No, I'm saying I liked it. I was surprised that it didn't piss me off like because they actually did add jokes and move like the story along. Yeah, that's good.
You and Lord Business.
Right, I just want to craggle the world. Put it together.
Death Wish 6.
Yeah, if Charles Bronson, if they could get Charles Bronson to voice a character, I'd be all about it. But he's got the perfect voice for animation.
As always, whether it's Taco Tuesday or Freedom Friday, it's always a good day to subscribe to our Film Fathers podcast. Thanks, and go to bed.